I found the line of blood, The Truth of Alfred Howitt, absolutely fascinating read. You
Oh,
must
that's good.
have spent an awful long time researching this. Can you tell us a little bit about how this all began for you? Because it's tantalizing. You're related to him.
Indeed. Well, I'm kind of vaguely. He was a his uncle, Uncle Godfrey, who I was a great, great, great grandfather of mine. So he was kind. He's kind of a cousin, you know, a cousin.
Yeah,
I suppose.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, for people who don't, I mean, they have to. The reason for why this book is so tantalising is because it gives you a real picture of Melbourne from another time. So the Godfrey you're talking about had a house and a farm on the corner of Spring Street, and it went down to Flinders Lane.
Indeed, and it went probably west to beyond Exhibition, to Russell. Almost, yes. So
amazing.
Sort of interesting. He actually came out here in 1840. His son was unhealthy, so he brought him out to fresh air out in the colonies. And, yeah, so he actually, I was a doctor, so he came out as a practicing doctor, physician. And Alfred came out in 1852, so it was when we were part of New South Wales. We were just growing a course of gold, basically.
Yeah, he came because of gold.
Yeah.
And I suppose we should go back to the original question that I just
sure.
jumbled over, which is I just couldn't get over the fact that there used to be a cottage with a farm in that location.
Right.
And I just thought I'd better tell people because it's just tantalising to read a book that actually gives a clear understanding of what it was actually like in those earliest days in Melbourne.
Yeah, well, in fact, opposite where the Fitzroy Gardens are was open country, and it was a kind of a dangerous place after dark because there were, you know, robbers and, you know, all sorts of things happening in there, so there you go.
Well, there you go. But you see, that's the thing. You made this journey into the past, didn't you? And there was a reason for why you did that.
Well, Alfred was a hero in our family. He discovered, you know, Burke and Wills, or he led the actual recovery or the search, if you like, and he found them. And so he was in every history book, everything we ever read on the great, you know, fiasco that was Burke and Wills. As I got older, as I read his work, and as I worked in Aboriginal Affairs, and I came across him, he became an anthropologist, as sort of an amateur, and I read what he was writing, and it was extraordinary. I mean, he was a collector. And he collected repositories of cultural info. But what he wrote, well, it chilled me a bit.
You know,
because he was writing it from the perspective of a social Darwinian. So he was viewing Aboriginal Australians as primitive savages. And he sort of purpose ultimately was to prove they were this primeval people locked over here in like flies and aspic.
Caught in amber.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, caught in amber. Yeah, like a fossil.
Yes, that's right. And it worried me, so I kept on reading and I kept on searching who was this man, you know, Alfred Howitt. And I think at the end I found out.
Yeah, it's really pretty interesting stuff. And what you've done, I mean, because there's an incredible level of detail, which I found really fascinating. So you worked really hard on this. Lots of fantastic, it's scholarly work, in fact. But
COVID was a great thing, you know. it gave me a kind of time and space. That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But where, thank goodness, you're a good writer as well. So,
oh, thank you.
So it's a really, really interesting read. And it is a really interesting read. And I'm interested in the subject. So talking to the for people to realise what's going on in this book is not only are we finding out about this autodidact called Alfred Howitt, who had a large influence on a whole lot of things, which we will talk about in a minute. But
sure.
Running alongside that, you give a modern perspective where he treads. You actually tell us about the communities and First Nations people who are completely disrupted at the same time as he walks through this country.
Well, there was a couple of ways of colonisation. There was the first wave that was the squatters who came in, you know, over the hills from New South Wales and who came into virgin country, you know, coax. And these open plains that had been created over millennium by Aboriginal people and were the actual homes of whole communities. And what happened was, of course, there was resistance, and the resistance was met with absolute brutal force, you know. So we actually had that happening. And then we had the gold, and what happened was a second wave came in of miners and prospectors who went out, and everything that was left was turned over. And what we actually had was a whole economy that had been here for 60,000 years was suddenly wrecked, smashed, you know. And how it worked with and was sponsored through murderers.
Yeah, murderers.
Of those Aboriginal people, he was actually investigating.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like Macmillan. And
Macmillan.
Oh my God, the blood.
he was just a horrible, horrible individual. I mean, he led the actual Highland Brigade up around Omeo and south and Gippsland, that's right.
And Bruthen and all that. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And the actual Highland Brigade were a cleansing militia that headed in out of the bush and slaughtered hundreds, if not thousands, of local Kurnai.
Yeah.
And the infamous event, I was at Warrigal Creek, where hundreds were slaughtered in revenge for an attack on a local shopkeeper. And but Macmillan was actually Howitt's great sponsor. The Macmillans were obviously sitting in the upper house of Victoria in the council. So he was a very powerful bloke, you know. And so he sponsored Alfred on his excursions in over the Highlands. So we actually have Howitt Plain, Mount Howitt, in search of gold. And Howitt would have known what the hell was actually happening over there, but chose silence, ultimately.
Which is the deafening silence that we all grew up with. And has now been unceremoniously become quite clear. And this is where your book is so fantastic, because you actually make it clear. And Alfred is a perfect protagonist, because here is this person who comes from... I just couldn't get over the way it all fell into place, because Alfred's father, William Howitt, had written a piece that was really influential on Marx in regards to the way the West just gouged avariciously the wealth from colonised places.
Mm.
This is fascinating, absolutely fascinating stuff.
It was called Colonisation and Christianity, and it was written in 1838, and it was incredibly influential, and it's quoted even now. He was visceral, arguing that Christianity and obviously colonising nations, you know, were slaughterers, plunderers, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So it was written by a person who was in living memory, that person's living memory, the clearances and the destruction that happened in Scotland and in England.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Interestingly and quite extraordinarily, he came out here and flipped.
Yeah.
And became a total apologist for the actual slaughterers and murderers of Australia, calling them, you know, heroic, you know.
Well, no, he was a propagandist. Yeah, that's one of the things.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what your book is really fascinating, because it's got all these strands in it, because you've got a big brain. You've got all these fantastic strands running through it that really make that whole period clear, because of the different, even references to French artist Delacroix, and you realise suddenly these people were contemporaries.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was an interesting era, and that contradiction with what you write as an armchair theorist, and then when you come out and you actually see how much you've criticised and viscerated, and you come out here and you see it in the flesh, and you just flip, you know, like you just completely 180 degree flip. It's just extraordinary.
Yeah, it was extraordinary. Bruce Pascoe actually does the foreword, which is a fascinating thing, because he reflects on how it, and he says, in reading the book, parts of Howitt's character make my skin crawl. But the uncovering of his life was revelatory, and he's completely correct. He was a mysterious character in many ways, and more exploration of the mystery has been good for our understanding of history, because he wrote this piece of work because he was an autodidact and also a literalist, I'd take to say. He's a literalist. He actually collected data. And then even though he superimposed his own rather horrible eugenics sort of approach to life onto it and white supremacy on it, he actually has left a gift for the peoples who have been horribly destroyed.
It's the great irony, isn't it? I mean, I worked in Aboriginal Affairs, and I actually commissioned Ray Thomas, who's a local Kurnai artist, to paint three interesting panels of his choosing that could be on the walls of our offices, you know. And I went up to his studio in Reservoir to have a look, you know, sort of how he was going. And here on the table, or whatever, in front of him was Howitt's Southeast Tribes open at the section on the Boran, who's the, I don't know, how would you do this? Anyway, a key area of culture. And he was painting the pelican that is Boran, the symbol of males in Kurnai.
Yeah, it's a creation story, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And it was extraordinary. It just shook me, and I just said, oh, well, he's mine, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he went, oh, right, yeah. And we chatted about that contribution, you know, that he had. So all through my adult life, I've just had this these two elements in my head, you know, the fact that Melbourne, what we know as Narn, was from Howitt's collection of cultural data, you know, because he actually asked William Barak, what's the name, what was this area called, and Narn. you know, so yeah. interesting, you know. So,
yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
but under it all is this purpose. Why did he collect it? And why was to prove, as I say, Aboriginal Australians were savages and primitives, and he was able then to be the most revered, you know, early anthropologist in the country, and James Fraser from England, who wrote The Golden Bough, he almost worshipped him. You know, Frederick Engels quotes him, and, you know, like the Berkheim and Spencer here. I mean, it's extraordinary, his kind of influence, which was, I think, influenced how we as Australians actually think on who Aboriginal people are. And we, I think, for over 200 years have relocated them to what? I don't know, flora and fauna. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I do. I do. And that's why this is such an interesting book, because, I mean, he's a real bastard, really.
Yeah. I mean, he's an ambitious man, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
But the fact that they have such these mythologies that have been created and used to perpetuate the hideous creation myth of white Australia is, frankly, because it's such a short history, white Australian history is so short, it's so easy to see the effrontery of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Really easy, and through his other work as a Royal Commissioner in Nutter, the Aboriginal problem in italics of Victoria, I mean, he recommended as part of it all that all the disparate nations of Victoria, all of the people ought to be gathered in protectorates, because, you know,
yeah,
we sort of had to protect them all through, so we actually had like Tyres and Ramiac and
Framlingham.
All of them. And we'll turn them all into white men and, you know, isn't it excellent? Aren't we good Christians, you know? Cultural genocide was, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's really yeah. quite, it's, in fact, there were parts of the book that I had to stop reading for a while because I needed to, it's not a spoiler. It's not like you don't know what happened.
No, but it was, how it actually happened.
Yeah, how it happened. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
so, right. So this your book, The Line of Blood, The Truth of Alfred Howard, a very can't tell people enough about how worthwhile it is to read it. It's just been launched, isn't it?
Yes, it was launched on Tuesday, actually. It was excellent. Actually, Hilary McPhee launched it. Bruce drove up from East.
Oh, did he? Good on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Bruce and I are basically childhood friends. Our fathers were in the war and were friends, well, besties, actually. and so I kind of grew up with Bruce, and he was the first person I actually asked, what do you reckon about Howlett? And he encouraged me and read early drafts and the whole bit, so yeah.
Oh, that's great. All right, and it's being published by Melbourne Books.
It's a small publisher, but he's great.
Okay, and so people can get it at all good bookshops?
Yeah, it's piled up in readings, it's everywhere, yes. It is.
Do themselves a favour and go and buy it.
Oh, aren't you nice? Thank you. And I really appreciate that you read it. That's fantastic.